It's The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.
And I'm Ross Reynolds. 2 years ago, the Washington State Supreme Court ruled that the state legislature was not fully funding basic education. That ruling has come to be known as the McCleary decision. The court found the legislature was in violation of the Washington Constitution, which says the state's paramount duty is to fully fund basic education.
Last week, the court said the legislature has made some strides towards fully funding basic ed, but it still isn't on target to meet a court-imposed deadline of 2018. The court ordered the legislature to come up with a comprehensive education funding plan by this April. Lawmakers tell KUOW they have no plans to add more funding to K-12 in the 2013 session. So how might the state Supreme Court enforce its mandate? Our next guest knows quite a bit about both sides of this issue. Seattle attorney Phil Talmadge was a state Supreme Court justice for 6 years, and he was a Washington state senator for 16 years. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good.
The state Supreme Court says the legislature's not making fast enough progress meeting that deadline to fully fund basic education. It sounds like lawmakers don't plan to add any money this year. And our question was, how can they just ignore what the court has asked them to do?
Well, this is a situation where both branches probably don't understand the other branch particularly well. You have, of course, members of the legislature, very few of whom have ever been in the judicial branch. And, of course, in the judicial branch, you have very few people who have ever been in the legislature or in other elective office. And in this particular set of circumstances, the court can do a number of things, contrary to what the legislators think. The court could hold individual legislators or the legislature as a group in contempt, impose monetary sanctions, could even conceivably jail people as part of that contempt authority. It could do what federal courts did in the desegregation cases years ago. They basically put school districts in receivership. Now, each one of these efforts has difficulties associated with it. Obviously, some legislators are not so guilty of contemptuous behavior as perhaps other legislators are. So how do you define who the appropriate target of your contempt power would be? Similarly, this isn't an individual school district. This is the entire state legislature. Are you going to order the legislature to pass taxes? Are you going to order the legislature to change budgetary priorities to defund human services and fund education? Those kinds of problems abound. And at the same time, the legislature thinks that it can get away with ignoring the court's order. The court does have authority to enforce, as we've just discussed. So both are in a position of significant vulnerability in some respects. And I think it's a situation that really represents uncharted waters for both branches of government, a classic problem of differences between two branches of our state government.
Well, Senator Steve Litzow has said, well, you know, that's the judicial branch. We're the legislative branch. And we do have these three houses, the executive, legislative, and judicial. All kids learn that in school. Is one more equal than others?
No, and but at the same time, when the court announces a constitutional principle, and this is a basic constitutional principle in our state constitution that says the funding of basic education is the paramount duty of state government, the legislature can't ignore the court's order without running into potential remedies that the courts may choose to impose against individual members of the legislature or the legislature as a group.
As a former state Supreme Court justice, is that something that you might advise people who are in your position now to consider seriously?
Well, I think it's a situation where both branches of government have to think seriously about the consequences of this situation. I mean, it really is uncharted waters. This school funding legislation litigation is not new, as you may recall. The first issue of school funding came about in the late 1970s, and at that time, the Supreme Court ordered the legislature to address the funding of basic education, and the legislature passed in 1977 the Basic Education Act. But the court was very reluctant in its opinion in 1975 or 76 to get into the business of telling the legislature precisely how to do its business. And here you have the court being a bit more prescriptive about how the legislature has to answer for the funding of basic education. I think that is a situation in which the court should be extremely cautious. But at the same time, members of the legislature ought to be extremely cautious in ignoring the imperative of the state Supreme Court in finding a constitutional violation in terms of educational funding.
Phil Talmadge is a former state senator and former state Supreme Court justice, now a Seattle-based attorney. Thank you so much for joining us.
More than happy to. Thank you.
The state Supreme Court has ordered the legislature to come up with a plan, a detailed plan, to fully fund K-12 education by April of this year. It's The Record.